Hello and welcome to the Seville Productions Purpose Podcast. I'm your host, Rupert McConic, founder and EP at Seville Productions. I'm delighted today to have Rodas, EC Deodroga 5 New York, as a guest. Welcome, Rodas. How are you?
I'm great, Rupert. How are you today?
Very good. So Rodas, tell us a little about your background, your career, before Droga. Where you're from? I think your name, Rodas, is kind of cool. So jump in and tell everyone about you, just so for the sake of everyone who doesn't know you.
Yeah, so I'm from Lima, Peru, from the beautiful South America. And I grew up in the city next to the ocean in Peru. You know, I was really lucky, actually. It's funny how life goes. I wanted to be a filmmaker, right? Like that was my childhood dream. And at some point, I also wanted to be a musician. I was always seeking for some sort of like creative path. I really wanted to be a creative person. I wanted to be able to express myself and make a living out of that. But Peru, back then, it was like, you could see some artists really thriving, and there was some really interesting musicians and filmmakers, but there were really few. It was hard to get into the circle of the people that had access to their resources. And so, it became a little tricky for me because I didn't know anyone, right? I thought I had, definitely some sort of ability to express myself creatively, but I was lacking a little bit of the connections. So one day while I was trying to get into filmmaking school, someone showed me the Cannes Lions reel, and that was eye-opening. I think I saw one commercial where Martin Scorsese was, being in the scene, teaching this little kid how to act. And I was like, oh my God, that's so good. It's great that big brands can do that, can work with someone like Martin Scorsese, a huge director, and creating their brand narrative. So I got really interested in that. Anyway, fast forward to what became my first experience at an agency. I didn't know what an agency was back then, right? I just thought that you would go and be creative, and creative just meant starting, putting ideas on paper, and I didn't know the process. So I started as a graphic designer, actually. And I thought, there were graphic designers, there were copywriters, and there were creative directors. That was my idea of an agency back then. As you can tell, I was so wrong about how big agencies and networks are. So I did the usual suspects. I worked at YNR. When it was still YNR, I worked at Publicis. I worked at Saatchi. I worked at Gray in Lima, Peru. We have all those agencies. That's a cool thing, networks are really everywhere. And at that time, there was a big push for the networks to have more of a global push for, elevating the creative product. So global CCOs were really interested in making every office the best version possible of what they could be. Back in Publicis, we were working really closely with Eric Grogan. He was reviewing our work. We were sending him a lot of print ideas because he's amazing at print. We were learning how to develop global campaigns for big clients like Duracell, everything that was P&G. We had Renault, the car brand as well. Really, really amazing brands. And the same happened with Gray. I think I joined at a great moment where also the network was really on top of making every office shine. And that was, that was the luck portion of it. After, winning a few awards, I ended up in Dubai. One day I got an email, and It was an email that felt some sort of came from a travel agency. It was more selling Dubai than, anything else, which was really interesting, because I didn't know much about Dubai back then. Anyway, I go to Dubai. I spent a couple years there, had the most amazing world opening experience. I got to really became more of a global citizen and learn how to work more global brands. That's when I started to work really, for the biggest brands like Visa, Mercedes, Mars. We're working closely with BBDO New York as well. And then in 2019, I finally moved to the US. And I don't want to make this story super long, but I think It was great to arrive to New York right before the pandemic, and definitely the lockdown slowed things down. But it feels great to be back, you know, back to New York. The city is really alive now. I think the ambition is back. People are going back to the office. It's a great moment. There's new technology coming in as well, like AI, you know, that's like the is going to be part of the creative revolution. So it's a really interesting moment to be here and to do my part in this amazing city, really creative city.
Wonderful. What makes Droga5 unique? How did you feel when you joined? What made it special for you?
Look, Droga5 was the reference when I started studying advertising, actually. I switched careers, as I said. I was trying to do other things. And when I discovered advertising, Droga5 just came out with amazing work. You know, they opened their agency, David opened his agency, and the work was just unlike something I ever seen. I didn't know that was possible. I remember that's the time when you would start going to YouTube. YouTube was a new thing. And I remember seeing the Bike Hero video. I believe that was real, you know? I believe that someone did that. That was not a brand, you know? That was not a commercial. That's someone just being creative and crazy on the internet. Same with Mark Echo and the Air Force One, right? Those are the things that you want to believe they're real. And I think that was the great thing. It's still the great thing about Droga, that you look at these things and you don't know how they came to be. You really wonder, how did they do that? And I think that's like what Debbie calls lighthouse work. And, you know, in our industry, there's a lot of fireworks, right? I think there's a lot of like really great campaigns that look shiny, bright, loud, and have the big budgets and all of that. But the DNA of Droga5 has always been really ingenious and leading the way of what's possible. So for me, that was really motivating, right? I thought, okay, you know, like it's not just commercials. It's not just posters and out of home and radio ads. You can spray paint the Air Force One. You can do all these crazy things that people really want to share and talk about and become part of a culture. And it's not that advertising wasn't that, right? I think it's just that because of the internet and the way people were behaving back then, I think Droga did a fantastic job at using that new media, right? And it's been evolving greatly over the years. And now there's definitely a new chapter at the agency. There's like a lot of changes happening. But for me, someone that's been working there for a couple of years only, I can tell you that this new chapter is going to be incredibly exciting. I think we are on the verge of like really redefining what's going to be. And I can tell you that lighthouse work is coming. It's like about to come out. And I'm super excited with the things we're working on right now. So yes, you know, it's a different Droga5, but I couldn't be happier to be working there right now.
Wonderful. Well, tell us about how do you define brand purpose? What role does brand purpose play in marketing and advertising?
Well, brand purpose has been something that I'm always been interested in because back in Peru, we didn't have the biggest budgets. We just didn't have the biggest celebrities. So we needed people to care in ways, you know, that didn't rely on all these things that come with, you know, like being a huge American agency, for example, right? When you have like all the resources and you can have someone like, I don't know, like now CeraVe has Michael Cera, right? That's like, you cannot do that in Peru, right? Even though if you have CeraVe, like, and you have the brief, you most likely won't get Michael Cera.
Right.
So I think brand purpose for me was a way to make people care. And we would always dial that up, you know, like, we were like, we gotta really make our brand purpose undeniable, inevitable. People should be able to tell that our clients, and we mostly had Peruvian clients back then, the biggest bank, we had the biggest retailer, fashion retailer, but they were all local clients, right?
Right.
So we worked so hard on defining their purpose because we knew that people would pay attention. Also, you know, like I think the way our culture works is like people care when they can tell that other people care. So we always wanted that to come across the world, right? That we care a lot. No matter the purpose was, I think that we wanted to make it feel real to people and we wanted it to be real. And we were like really consequent with, you know, how we were differentiating the brands from everything else. So I think differentiation is like, a key role of what brand purpose gives you, that also leads to customer engagement, right? People really care. You know, if there's like, for example, the biggest bank in Peru, we wanted people to make sure we were, you know, like we were going to support them no matter what the plans were. I think one of the campaigns had to do about like just being the institution behind everyone's dreams, right? So we made it about the people, and we actually helped certain people, you know, just to kind of like create examples on how we're like really supporting, you know, like small business owners and different kind of like people that were like trying to, you know, not just like get a bank loan or like a mortgage or a house. It was more about like really realizing their dreams. So I think like that was a key moment for that brand, because people, you know, we Peruvians, we are like a country of dreamers, and people really, you know, like it's all about like themselves kind of like making these dreams come true, right? So that drove a lot of customer engagement, for example. And then like also that leads to innovation, because then whatever you do, and it's not just your advertising, but also like creating products, creating customer service, it's all around that brand purpose as well, right? So yeah, I mean, I can tell you, you know, like coming from Peru, it's been really a great thing for me to being able to shape brand purpose for like really interesting companies. And now that I'm in the US and learning, you know, like how even bigger companies do it, it's really great to be part of, you know, just like, it's not just about being creative, but putting, you know, like fun work out there. I think like the impact that this company is having in people's life is the most rewarding thing.
Absolutely. Tell us about the brand that approached marketing and maybe brand purpose marketing in a way that you didn't expect.
Ooh, well, I think everyone's talking about liquid death lately. And I mean, that's an interesting story, right? But I think it's unfair to compare it to other brands, because liquid death was born from a crazy idea. I'm deeply obsessed with what they do. I think it's fucking amazing. It's great. But if we want to be like a little bit more strict, you know, on brands that are really just like trying to create something, let's say that could feel like a little bit more unexpected, I think that Squarespace is a brand that's been around for a while. And now, you know, Super Bowl is happening in a couple of days and I just saw their spot. I think they can do really creative storytelling, and selling websites is something that, you know, how many times can you do it in such creative way, right? They always find these amazing stories to tell. They're super engaging. They feel more like customer experiences rather than just ads. So yeah, if you haven't seen it, I really recommend it. You know, I think Squarespace, also me being an art director, I think they're just beautifully crafted. I think that's the kind of work that really elevates, you know, the bar and pushes the whole industry to just like doing more beautifully crafted things that are highly engaging and also feel like part of culture. So I think that they do strike that balance. So that's one example that I've seen recently. But yeah, and beyond that, you know, like, I think the stuff we're doing at Trova 5 is also quite exciting with brands like Meta, even our own brand Accenture. I think there's some really good stuff that's happening right now, and you'll see it quite soon. So yeah, I'll let you know when that happens, but I think like it's going to be great.
How do you reach people now?
On their phones. I mean,
but also, how do you reach them on streamers? There's so many things that they've gone to. I mean, they obviously, yes, they're on social media.
I mean, our lovely partners, the Calm Strategies, you know, like they really help us shape the campaign architecture for everything we do. But I think mostly you find people online, which means on their phones. And that means, you know, there's a lot of social media assets were created lately. You know, advertising did become more complex. I think I would have loved to live in a world where, you know, you only had to do a TV commercial, an out-of-home campaign, and a radio ad. And I kind of had that at the beginning of my career, to be honest. Like, I started so long ago, and it was slightly simpler. But I think now it's exciting, because you also get to be creative with where you show up. And I was mentioning the CeraVe thing earlier, right? But that was genius to me, how they use content creators and just like different media to kind of like see this idea that, you know, kind of like this urban legend that Michael Cera was behind the creation of Cera B.
Right.
Like that, I think we have a lot of fun with that, right? Because if we are, for example, doing something for Meta, and Meta is such a big company, right? We're talking to, let's say, I don't know, we're talking about Facebook groups. You go and find, you know, like where these people are, right? And the Facebook groups, for example, are like fascinating, right? People just create this and then they find each other. So it's such a big question, but in reality, I think it just takes a lot of work. You gotta be like really mindful, you know, like even with the budget, right? Like I think that probably a lot of people are telling you lately, you know, like create, I don't know, this is a trend I think like I've been feeling over the last couple, not couple of years, like a few years. People are suggesting, hey, create videos that don't feel too high end, that they don't look like commercials. So when you put it on social media, it feels more like, you know, user generated. And I think that's great. You know, like you can use that, you know, like even to capture people's attentions, but it's definitely a mix. I think that makes our jobs as creatives more excited because the idea has to be better. So I think it all starts with the creative, and then it's just like really navigate on how to best use your budget. But I think, yes, I mean, of course, you're going to find less people watching, you know, the same show, the same thing at the same time. So jobs are harder now, but...
Yeah, they're kind of, you got to place bets on everything, right? I mean, they're everything's so disrupted now. They're not on traditional TV, so you have to have stuff for TV and then stuff for different types of social media and stuff for streamers and so on, right?
Yeah, I mean, now there's something for everyone, right? At all times. So I think you got to be like hyper targeted. It's a great challenge. I think that, you know, the amount of assets you end up creating for campaigns, it's kind of interesting because every single media has like its own rules, right? Like when you have something for Instagram, you know, like that first frame is so important, you know, like the caption you write for that is so important. Even like sound, you know, like when you go, I don't know if you heard this, when you go on TikTok, like you gotta have sound right away. You cannot have the pause. Like even there was a joke going around like a while ago about the millennial pause, you know, like when older content creators wait a second before they start talking, like it gets a little less engaging. So it's just fascinating to learn, you know, like you got to know all these things to really get people attention. But yeah, again, you know, I think it's just also really helps to kind of like be more, I don't know, be smarter with your budget, right? I think like the same way you target people, just like got to be able to play chess with your money and like put it where it's working harder.
Exactly. That makes complete sense.
Yeah.
So just switching gears, what do you look for when serving on juries for festivals?
So I've been doing that for the past 3-4 years. Well, it's interesting to get in a room with people that most of the time you haven't met before and start talking about creativity and what should set the bar for what our industry is doing, right? I think what I am looking for, especially now, is more of that lighthouse work. I think a lot of times, you know, we want our work because we feel it's good. And, you know, like you by just sitting there in a jury room, like you want to get your job done the right way, right? But I think like we got to be really strict that when we put those things out there, the whole industry is looking at that, and that will dictate what the next year will be. So it can become it is a very important decision, right? And what you put out there, it becomes really influential. So I think that, you know, at least for the top winners, those gotta be, you know, pushing the industry forward. I don't think just being great is enough. I think they have to really be something that's never been done before, done in a way that's never been done before. And those gotta be audacious, brave, and inevitable, right? So yeah, really looking forward for those kind of ideas. I'm actually judging our Directors Club right now. And yeah, more and more, I do feel the responsibility to give the industry, you know, like the ambition we deserve, because I feel like we need it now more than ever. And yeah, you know, like grateful to be able to do my part.
Wonderful. So what advice do you have for young marketers and advertising creatives entering the workforce?
And this is one thing maybe some people don't want to hear, but show up. And that doesn't mean go to the office every day, but definitely show up, care. This is a job that can give you so much. I think that through advertising, you can achieve the life that you want. Look, again, you know, I told how I came from Lima and went to all these places, and now I'm here at Droga New York. It felt impossible. Back in 2006, when I started studying advertising, I was like, you know, I don't know. I felt like trying to get into NASA, to be honest. It was an impossible mission, right?
Yeah.
But then you take it one thing at a time, right? One brief at a time, one year at a time. And you just remember I said how I wanted to believe the things Droga5 did were real. Like, I wanted to believe those were real. I think you have to want to believe, right?
Right.
And I think that it's easy sometimes to feel that you're working for someone else because, you know, you have an employer, they pay your salary, you show up their offices and all of that. But I think you gotta have a sense of, you know, ownership that you, in a way that you gotta think that really these things you're doing for yourself, right? You're in this situation working for someone right now, but how you spend that time will impact your life in such an important way. So just think about that and care about how that can impact your life, right? So, you know, like, I've been really lucky to be surrounded by amazing people that care and people that I see them succeed. And I'm like, hell yeah, they deserve it because they understood that, you know, being good at this job means having good lives. At the end, you get the life you deserve. It's possible, I can tell you, but you gotta have the right attitude. And I feel like there's a problem with that right now in terms that after coming from the lockdown, things have not been defined clearly. You know, like, I think there's like, definitely we're still in this weird moment where like, we don't know which direction we're going in terms of like, are we going to the office or not? Like, what's work culture? You know, like, those things were so defined before, and now like we're shaping them, I feel. And there's gonna be something for everyone. I don't think there's gonna be like one size fits all anymore. But yeah, just like really, you know, like question if where you're working at right now is the right fit and if you care. And if not, then you have to find that, you know, that will really make you care and will make you have the life that you want. And having the life that you want doesn't mean chilling and being able to have a lot of free time. You know, it's just like be ambitious with your life, you know, like what do you want to achieve? You know, what is your dream life and go get it?
Exactly. Tell us about a recent campaign you're excited about that you maybe something you can talk about.
Okay. Well, last year we helped Meta launch its first ever global platform. It's called It's Your World. And that was amazing. Again, that was like one of those, you know, like big briefs that I've been waiting for my whole life, being able to help a big company define their, again, you know, like their brand role, purpose, platform. I think that was like quite humbling. And we produced a music video with Kyle Ray, David Guetta. It was a lot of fun. It was made on anime style, which was also, you know, like the whole process was like really interesting. I'm really proud of that work, actually. And, you know, being a heavy user of Meta apps, I think that I find that especially meaningful for me. Being an immigrant as well, you know, I communicate through WhatsApp with my family constantly. So that was, you know, the first step on the journey. That was year one. And now we're going to keep helping them shape what the Meta brand means. And again, you know, just me being a user and something that's like really helped me stay connected with friends and family and just my world in general is something that I'm really proud of.
Wonderful. So Rodas, it's been such a pleasure having you on. You're a credit to all Peruvians.
Thank you so much. It has been a lot of fun. Also, next time you come to New York, please, let's hang.
No, we will. We're going to have a pisco sour somewhere and some delicious Peruvian food. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Seville Productions Purpose Podcast. Learn more about Seville Productions and our work in the purpose and sponsored entertainment space at www.sevilleproductions.com.